AV guard.
What's Pete,
is it difficult, Pete, to make that door close all the way?
Oh,
move the house around.
Yeah, you take the little doodly bob off the thingy-ma-boo.
Yeah, because that's, Evie has gotten, now that she knows how to get in here, she... Well, yeah, but if it's closed all the way, it probably
it
wouldn't pull.
It can be tightened. There's a screw on the end of it that will tighten.
Yeah, just right here needs to be moved a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and this one, too, because this one you have to...
You have a balance between, because sometimes you, it's just a hair, yeah. And you tighten it too much, it just kind of slams.
Slamming is better than anything.
Well, that's true.
Ecclesiastes 10. In verse 14, where a fool multiplieth his words. We started talking about false prophets and how they, and we spent a lot of time yesterday about how all of us are false prophets.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
You know, I got an email this morning from Benny Hinn, and it just, it like was the final straw after the things I've seen on TV over the last 2 weeks. These guys, they just sit and they watch for anything that they can use as a marketing, something they can put in their advertisement. And now it's nuclear war. And all they're talking about is how Iran and North Korea are going to kill everybody. And they're telling all these little old ladies that that's why they should give money, because there's going to be nuclear war. It's just unbelievable.
That's what it means when I said yesterday about they make merchandise of you.
Looking for an opening.
And
John Hagee's deal right now is he has a book that he's selling to everybody called World War III Has Already Started.
I know. But the point, I don't care about them. I care that you know that you are the false prophet, that you are the one that tries to take advantage of each little thing. And you and I mean, that's what we are. That's what we do. So that, huh? And, I mean, it's easy to see Benny Hinn or Hagee or somebody, but is the issue is, can you see how you do it? And, I mean, that's otherwise, then repentance isn't possible, because as long as there's judgment against another, then you can't repent because you think you're better than they. You see that? What?
Yeah. Okay. I think sometimes it's like you use a perspective. What they're doing is so big and bad, and you're focused on that, so you can't see the mote in your own eye, or the little thing, because of this big thing.
You can't see the log in your own eye.
That's probably a little better way to say it.
Well, that's what Jesus said.
You know, I knew when I said mote that I was wrong, but thanks for that correction.
Mote, log, I get this too confused.
I mean, I don't want to sit and give examples how all of us do it, but we all look for an advantage, whether it's in conversations or in business, or that's what we're hardwired to do. If you get in an argument with a loved one, the first thing you do is bring up all the stuff that you had already told them of you'd forgiven them for. And so that's what you do. You search for a target.
Nobody can bring that up.
And we all do it.
And even if we suppress those words, we've already done it because we
thought of it. You heard the voices,
right.
The words, the mouth wasn't shut up on one of those consulars.
And then you think you're righteous because you would control that evil tongue.
No,
you
do.
That's what I've seen people do.
I know you're so
am I. All right, let's look at it. Did we go look at Ezekiel yesterday? I think we did. Ezekiel 13, yeah. Let's go to Jeremiah 14.
Oh.
Verse 7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Now, this is like that prophet, I mean, the guy in Zechariah who warned the when they killed him between the porch and the altar and the blood seethed. Well, this is just before Nebuchadnezzar, or the Babylonians, came and destroyed the temple. That these words of Jeremiah are being spoken. And so, I mean, that is the most illustrative. But if you think of it as a history lesson, or until you see that you're the Babylon that's trying to destroy the temple, and you're the one that's the backslidden, then you can't see it. It'll just be other guys. It'll be like Benny Hinn over here, and John Hagee over here, and Kenneth Copeland over here. And even though we say we understand that we do it, the evidence is that we don't. I'm not excluding me. It's all of us. For thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many, and we have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior, thereof in the time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people. Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. Now, again, the wandering, we're not talking about walking around. The wandering is what you do in your mind. You don't stay on the mercy seat. Do you understand that? You go back to woe unto those that return to Egypt for help and have not inquired at my hand. Woe unto them that sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that carry all of the baggage with them and all of their goodies with them and all of their opinions and ideas from Egypt. And as they try to get a little bit farther, that rope is getting so heavy. Even if it was just a little string or a little... By the time you go a mile or go 100 feet, that rope gets so heavy it's 10 times heavier than the baggage you're trying to carry. Thus saith, in verse 10, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sin. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And again, this is almost the same thing that Ezekiel said, and it's slightly different. When they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, and a divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their own heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. Now, what does it mean to say peace, peace, when there is no peace? What does that really mean? It's easy to talk about it like Can you capture that a minute? What does it mean to say peace, peace, when there is no peace? I promise you this. Any time you believe a how-to, you are saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Any time you see a solution to an issue, you're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Every single time you give somebody advice, you're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now this will kill you. And it's the evidence that you're a false prophet. You're prophesying in your own little universe, but it's just as bad as if you were prophesying to the whole world. The point of it is, we have to accept our death. We deserved it. Our iniquity separated us from Him. The only hope is our death. I mean, the only answer is our death. And our only hope is in the resurrection. And that has to be a continuum. It is never a thing you did. Now that's what produces joy. Remember, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Now, that isn't that place over there. That's the true. That was just a parable. This is the true Mount Zion. The place and the only place of joy, because joy can't be time dependent. Joy can't be circumstance dependent. Joy can't be goodies dependent. Because He is joy. It's like truth. Oh, I'm telling the truth. If anything you're saying changes with time, it's not the truth. If anything you're preaching and are talking to somebody about God stuff and it's time dependent, by definition, it isn't the truth. That's why I let your conversation be salted. Let everything you do always has the predicate that you are in eternity. And you get rid of this stupid idea that forever means a long, long time. It means no time at all. You have redeemed the time, for the days are evil. Then what do I do? How do I live? If I'm working for somebody, what do I do? You do what Jesus said to do. You meet need. But if you put evidence, if you put importance on meeting need, or you give breath to the meeting need, then you've left your first love, and you've gone into making your first love dependent on your success or failure at what you're doing. And your joy is dependent on whether or not you have any tension or not. What the hell is that?
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Do you have any tension?
No, anxiety.
Angst.
Angst.
I can't be in joy because I'm
my best friend's son always says, "Daddy, I'm just nerved up."
All right, let's go to his. Did that say go to? Yeah, we are in Jeremiah 14. Let's go back to Ezekiel. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. I'm sorry. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock, and have driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will rise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now that's what has happened. That's what happened in Pentecost. The land came to his people. The scriptures talk about how we shall, you know, it's always talking about up to the mountain of Israel, up to the mountain of Zion, up to the, because Israel and Jerusalem is on a mountain. But the scriptures over and over say we shall flow into it. Well, now that's a little difficult. How do you flow up a mountain? Well, you flow into it because that's where all of time, once you've seen the vanity of everything, all of time can only push you, only put you in this place if you only see. Because that's always your place. But wait a minute, we didn't get where I want to get. In verse 9, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one of that walketh after their own imagination, or the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived, and he heard his word, and marked his words, and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked one. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. And in the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turn them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Anyway, it's pretty intense. Can you see? Is there any of you that can see that you and I are the false prophets? That if we pay attention to our mind, if we say anything, if we say something that says it isn't finished, if we say something that I need something, if we, because this is all this thing does, it has to worship time. This, I mean, dwell on, I mean, consider these carefully and see that all the promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, they go through the one seed, your one seed, which is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He doesn't need any of your assistance. He doesn't need your advice. He doesn't need your thoughts. He doesn't need what you think about. He doesn't need your opinions. Can you possibly say, by faith, I present myself to you a living sacrifice? Let him worry about what's going to happen. Let him take care of everything. It's all that he asks of us. And that's glorious. What?
Yeah, the depth of abandonment is seldom touched. Can be heard on as such a surface thing, but without some consideration on a deeper level.
Well, if you read these scriptures about the false prophets, and you don't see what and why they're the false prophets, and then if you don't see that you're the false prophet, and then you can never you won't see the cross, because you will other direct any bad stuff. It's like, you know, and underline all the good stuff. Anyhow, that's probably enough on false prophets. Anybody doubt anything or have any questions about anything we said the last couple days about false prophets? Everybody understands perfectly. Anybody think this is kind of important?
I think one of the things we talk about in here is to prophesy.
But not, you know, prophesy, remember?
But it's so that we can be corrected.
No,
that you can hear what you say, so that you're not stifling whatever it is, and it can't be dealt with. If it's all inside, it's all part of your deception.
Yeah, so, I mean,
take the risk, and
that's the whole thing that people have said, that, well, you say what's there, and then when you do, you get yelled at. Well, you should.
I'm glad you are. See, in a lot of these charismatic environments, like Christ-Led Nations or something, nobody yells at anybody about anything. It's everybody can do and blah 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 blah, and there's no correction.
But there it's so easy, because people stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just crap.
Yeah.
But it's just like little kids. But when you don't say, "Thus saith the Lord," but you believe, "Thus saith the Lord," in other words, this is what I want, then your own little internal worship is going to be the end of you. Because you do it with impunity. That's why repentance is always the answer. Now, when I was a new believer, I didn't take me very long to... These people would stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Anyway, I mean, it was like in charismatic... Those of you who haven't lived in the charismatic churches world, it's like, my God, how can they do that? And finally, after a few days, I said, that's not right. Because, you know, I went back and searched for the scriptures, and they were saying exactly opposite what the scriptures said. Well, then I started speaking it. And didn't get accepted at many churches. So then I try to shut up, keep quiet, not say anything. Now I just don't give a crap. I just say what's there without... But you have to come, you have to, I think everybody has to go through that thing where you put a governor on yourself, so that, because you've been taught to do that, you know, you can't say that. And then you begin to taste the freedom of the cross, and then, oh wait a minute, that's pretty bad, I better not do that. Your return. Anyway, everybody understands false prophets. The fool multiplieth his words. All righty, take it, big guy.